2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Your all-day resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on the KSL News Radio app, sponsored by NAR Services, KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Good evening, 6 o'clock, KSL News Radio. I'm Jeff Kaplan. We have partial sunshine, 78 degrees. KSL's top story, there's now an arrest warrant this afternoon for Brian Laundrie. KSL News Radio's Kira Hoffemeyer reports it's not for Gabby Petito's murder.
The warrant is actually for Brian Laundrie's unauthorized use of a debit card and two bank accounts between August 30th and September 1st. The FBI charging document says Laundrie spent over $1,000 in those 2 days after the death of Gabby Petito. The FBI says this allows them to continue investigating Petito's murder and arrest Laundrie. There is no mention of murder in this warrant. It's a way to arrest Laundrie and get him into police custody. They're asking anyone who is using the Spread Creek dispersed camping area between August 27th and August 30th and may have seen Laundrie or Petito to call them. Kira Hoffelmeyer, KSL News Radio.
Meantime, a Tampa Bay law firm is offering $20,000 for any information that leads to finding Brian Laundrie. Northport police have stopped the search in the Carlton Nature Reserve for this afternoon. They're going to be back at it tomorrow. Police in Moab say they're looking into their own officers and their response to that incident involving Petito and Laundrie in mid-August. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports.
The city of Moab issued a statement saying at this time they're unaware of any breach in police department policy. Former Salt Lake City Police Chief Chris Burbank says they'll likely just look at this one incident to see if it matched policy, but he believes investigators should take a wider look.
This is how you make the organization better, not just appease the call for action at the moment.
He says more than one domestic violence case should be examined to see if the policies in place are good or not. He says officers can order the couple to stay apart from each other, but even that only goes so far.
Even then, the victim can waive that and say, nope, I don't want that.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Officer response times in Salt Lake City are going in the wrong direction. KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt talked with a business and a resident about this.
New data from the Salt Lake City Police Department shows its response times are slowing down for routine and emergency calls. Jake Cornea lives near Liberty Park and says his neighborhood is not safe anymore, not even safe enough to walk his dog at night. And he says of the weekly calls that he makes, police officers hardly ever respond. Meanwhile, the Utah School of Pet Grooming on North Temple and 10th West says they regularly have to call for help and officers are there in a flash.
SLCPD tells us it's seriously understaffed right now with more than 50 vacancies. The FBI is now on the scene of a mass shooting at a Kroger store in Tennessee this afternoon. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, two people are dead, including the suspect. 14 people were hurt in the shooting at a grocery store near Memphis. Collierville Police Chief Dale Lane says he's never seen anything like this in his 34-year career.
I mean, obviously, it's like every other community in the country. It's horrific. We hate that it happened.
Longtime employee Brignetta Dickerson was working when the chaos erupted.
It first started in the deli, and I heard some gunshots. We could tell it was balloons popping. When it kept on going, we said, no, there's gunshots.
Counselors have been brought in to help the traumatized workers. Breaking news on KSL News Radio. Just minutes ago, the House Select Committee on the January 6th Capitol riot issued its first subpoenas. They target former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and two close Donald Trump confidants. Meadows featured prominently in Mr. Trump's efforts to pressure state officials in Georgia and other states to overturn the election. Airline workers today telling Congress they must do something about the growing problem of air rage attacks in flight. The FAA received nearly 4,300 abusive passenger complaints this year. Flight Attendants Association President Sarah Nelson says passengers are kicking, hitting, and abusing her members.
If we continue at this rate, there may be more incidents in 2021 than in the entire history of aviation.
The flight attendants are asking Congress to ban carry-on the plane alcohol and to create tougher fines and punishments. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Shalayos, KSL News Radio.
The Taliban is promising a kinder, gentler government, but right now things seem same as last time. The Associated Press is reporting the executions and hand amputations will return. The Taliban's still deciding whether it'll carry out those punishments publicly. KSL News Time 6:05. There's a new housing option for BYU students with two semesters under their belt. And KSL News Radio's Jessica Lowell explains.
Starting fall 2022, BYU students who have finished two semesters of school will be able to move into non-contracted off-campus housing. Right now, only married or graduate students are allowed to live off-campus. Single undergrads who choose to live in off-campus housing will still have to follow the university's student housing policies, meaning opposite sexes won't be allowed in each other's apartments, and students will still have to abide by the Church Educational System Honor Code.
Housing option is only for BYU Provo students and not for students at Ensign, BYU Hawaii, or Idaho. KSL News Time 6:06. Ricky Meese is here. What's going on the roads?
We had a crash. I really thought we'd be flying into emergency traffic by now. Northbound I-15 approaching Layton Parkway. It had been blocking two left lanes of traffic, but crews made fast work of that. It is clear, and those delays are also easing. But we do have a new accident in the Draper area, northbound I-15, just after 146 South. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.